It is 8:08 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I'm Antonia Yuhas.
And this time on Tuesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee will be in full swing with the most consequential confirmation hearing, certainly of my lifetime. That'll be the confirmation hearing that may result in putting Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, locking in a much more conservative majority on that court than it has had in several generations. We're going to be broadcasting that coverage live, gavel to gavel, for the 3 days it is scheduled to take place, which means you will not hear my voice in this time slot on these airwaves. You'll be hearing, when they are not speaking at the lectern, Mitch Jeserich, host of Letters in Politics, who is putting that broadcast together. He joins us now in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Antonia.
Good morning, Mitch.
It's almost like Tuesdays with Mitch now. I'm here so much later than usual. All the light outside.
It's amazing, isn't it? 8 o'clock is just an entirely different experience.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here. Good morning.
So we saw accelerated calls from Democrats after Donald Trump became an unindicted co-conspirator in a felony plea last week to push back the hearing, specifically because of Brett Kavanaugh's law review article in 2009 suggesting presidents should not be subjected to indictment, subpoena, or criminal investigation while they're in office. That seems to have fizzled. The hearings are on. You have covered these types of hearings in the past. How do they typically run? How do we expect this one might be different?
Well, that's to be seen, and it may not be very different. This will be the sixth Senate Judiciary confirmation hearing for a Supreme Court justice that I have covered.
Goodness, what else do you do with your time?
Yeah. Well, you know, you start to realize, you know, you're not as young as you once were when you start to count all this stuff up, you know, and people like that you once knew, like John McCain, have died, right? So what's the process going to be like? Well, this is going to begin on Tuesday, as you indicated. The hearing begins at 6:30 a.m. We'll have a pre-show at 6 a.m. And the first day, mostly all you're going to get on the first day are opening statements. You have 21 senators that sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee. 11 are Republicans, 10 are Democrats. And they'll all give about a 10-minute opening statement. And then you get introduced. Brett Kavanaugh will be introduced by none other than Condoleezza Rice, believe it or not. She'll be one of the two people, along with Senator Rob Portman, who will be introducing him. So they'll get to speak, and then after that, you get an opening statement by Brett Kavanaugh, and then the Q&A begins. I don't even know if we'll get to the Q&A come Tuesday. Oftentimes, that's saved for the next couple of days. The whole process is a long one. Usually in the middle of this, I'm usually wondering to myself, is this ever going to end? And it eventually does. But, you know, we weren't originally going to broadcast Tuesday's hearing because it was opening statements. We can, you know, thought Upfront would cover it. Maybe I'd cover it at 10, these type of things, until we got that letter from the Democrats, all the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee on Friday, to the Republican chair of the committee, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, requesting that it be delayed. Now, it's not going to be delayed. However, we did not get the time for this hearing start until late yesterday. So that to me was interesting, how late it even took for them to get an actual time start for the hearing. That suggested to me they were at least considering what was being said, or at least debating what was being said. So as you indicated, Brian, the Democrats are concerned about Brett Kavanaugh's 2009 law review article suggesting that a president shouldn't be impeded in the work that the president does. So hence shouldn't be subject to subpoenaed, shouldn't be indicted. These are things that may or may not happen anyways, but these are also possible things because of the Robert Mueller investigation, that if these issues do go to the Supreme Court, if Mueller demands a subpoena from the president, or not likely he's going to indict the president, but who knows, if any of these things occur, very likely we'll get to the Supreme Court. So Democrats want to know, is it appropriate to have somebody that Donald Trump just appointed on the Supreme Court, as well as somebody who just wrote that law review article? Now, Kavanaugh has told senators that he has been meeting with, because he meets with all the senators leading up to this process. He said that he said that it's not settled law. He's not saying it's settled law. He was saying that in this article, he was suggesting that Congress should pass a bill that would insulate the president from being subpoenaed or from being indicted to make it clear. But it's not settled yet. So how does he rule if that decision comes to him? We don't know. But again, people are concerned about that 2009 article. Another reason why they want the Democrats on the committee want to delay this whole process is because they haven't gotten all the documents that they want from Brett Kavanaugh. And in particular, when Brett Kavanaugh was a lawyer within the White House during the George W. Bush years, and they've requested these documents from the National Archives, which hasn't gotten to them yet. They said they will, but they can't get them all right now. I think we're talking about something like a million documents. Brett Kavanaugh was somebody who was instrumental and key of passing all the documents that went to and from George Bush, the president. So there's a lot out there. Why is that important? Well, people will point to what happened with Jay Bybee, who now sits on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Jay Bybee was a lawyer in the White House during the same time. He wrote the infamous, they call it the Bybee memo, the infamous torture memo, what they titled this, where we get the enhanced interrogation techniques, right? This comes from his memo bringing legal justification to these things. Well, George W. Bush nominates Bybee to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. He gets confirmed. He gets Senate confirmation. But the Bybee memo, which is now pretty infamous, doesn't come out until after the confirmation process. And so they make the argument that, well, we should be able to see all these documents from when he was in the White House in order to be able to make a proper decision on his nomination. And I'm sure there's also politics involved. Democrats would like to delay this as much as humanly possible, especially after the midterm election, though you'd have to get to the next year because Congress would still be in session. Very unlikely it happens, though. I think they're going to move through with this hearing. In years past, they usually started the first day at 1 p.m. Eastern time because it was just opening statements. This time they're starting at 9:30 their time, which suggests to me they might even try to get through more on the first day than they usually do because Republicans want to get this wrapped up.
You know, I think the importance of airing the opening statements is that those statements are often an opportunity for people to get a deeper sense of who this nominee is if you're coming to this, listening to these hearings without that sense. And we've got some really star members of the Democratic Party on the Senate Judiciary Committee who will be offering, who have been hard-hitting on this administration and hard-hitting on Kavanaugh
and potential
already.
Presidential nominees.
Yeah. So there's a lot to listen to. I mean, you know, talk about some of the Democrats who are really standing out on judiciary to be leaders in this in the hearing process.
Well, I guess the two I think of first are the two potential presidential nominees that people are bantering about potentially running for president. That's Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker, and then also our own Senator Kamala Harris. So there'll be a lot of attention on them. There'll also be a lot of attention on Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein, who is the ranking Democrat on this committee, is now suddenly finding herself in a very tough re-election, you know.
Yeah.
So she'll be interesting to watch through this process as well.
I was going to say but also about Booker and Harris is, I mean, not just presidential candidates, but they have played key roles in Senate hearings at this point and being people who articulate exceptionally well the legal cases against the people who have been brought before them. They've been interrogators in Senate Judiciary. And I think really, in many ways, you know, no holds barred interrogators. So I think one of the things we'll get from these opening statements is this real clear sense of what are the potential threats posed by Kavanaugh being on the Supreme Court, including the issue that you've already raised. Is one of the main reasons why he's been picked is to be someone who will rubber stamp Trump's ability to get through any sort of impeachment or indictment process.
Yeah, I guess people like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker have replaced somebody who was ousted from the Senate last year, Al Franken, who is known for his sharp questioning. And so you'll get the opening statements. And you know, I think these hearings can be long and tedious and oftentimes boring, but they are just a promo.
You really know how to sell your
just
broadcast.
Just to promo what we're going to be doing next week.
this is the most important hearing in my lifetime.
Yeah. That's what he said the last time.
Okay.
That's what I said last time. That's what we all say every time, right? Just like the election. But you know, I do think they're important, though, because This is probably the biggest opportunity we are going to have as a country to learn who Brett Kavanaugh is. I think it's very likely he becomes confirmed. You never know. Something can happen. You know, an equivalent to an Anita Hill could pop up somewhere and change everything.
Right. That completely derailed Clarence Thomas's nomination.
Well, it certainly made it harder. It certainly made history. Yeah. You know what? It certainly made it longer, that whole process.
Fair enough.
So it's a real opportunity to learn about these people.
All right. Mitch Jezerich, that's all the time we have. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch.
It was fun.
You work here, actually. Mitch Jezerich is the host of Letters in Politics.
I just like the boss to know I'm here, so hopefully he's listening.
He's going to be anchoring live coverage of confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh, who Donald Trump would like to put on the Supreme Court. That starts Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. We'll be going live, gavel to gavel, with analysis and reaction during all the breaks and recesses right here on KPFA. That means Antonia and I and Upfront will be off the air basically for the entirety of next week because Monday's a holiday. But definitely tune in for what we will have on. That takes us to 8:19 in the morning. The program's Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tekert.
And I'm Antonia Yuhas.
Stick around.